Father, we'll give some participants and have some mercy upon them to live for them and die in them. I'd like to get TJ up to work on the prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for another good day that you've given us. We're thankful for the rain that we've needed to help things grow. Thankful that you've watched over us today and kept us safe and brought us here tonight to study another portion of your word. And we ask that you be with us through this class and help us to listen and to learn from what's being taught tonight. And thankful for Thomas and the time he spent to bring us these lessons this quarter. And we're thankful for that. And ask that you be with us and keep us safe through this class. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, tonight, how I'd like to start the class is showing how God cares about His people. And we're going to look in a moment at Deuteronomy 14:5. But I think these verses will help us to see how God cares for us. And I'd like to begin in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible tells us the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. So we see we can always count on the Lord when we're in trouble or we're in some kind of trial. And we know that He'll be there for us. Over in, let's go to Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we see the great love that God had in us by sending His Son to die upon the cross. And it shows how much He cares for us as well. And then back in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So we know that God cares enough for us, and He's always with us at all times. As we turn to Deuteronomy 14, verse 5, we're about to, in this chapter, it'll begin with talking about God, how He cared for His people. He didn't want them to start partaking in other things of other nations to do the things that they were doing. They were to be, as we'll read later, they were to be a special treasure, a special people. And then it goes on to talk about which animals that they could eat and which animals they could not eat, which animals are clean animals and which animals are not are considered unclean. And but as we let's go ahead and read Deuteronomy 14:1-5. You are the children of the Lord your God, and you shall not cut yourselves nor shave the front of your head for the dead. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the people who are on the face of the earth. And you shall not eat any detestable thing. These are the animals which you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the mountain goat, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. And these animals bear a distinction if you look upon them, they have cloven hoofs. And I was going to draw it up here on the board, but I think I can do it with my fingers. And it's sort of like a spot, but it'll be more of a rounded toward the middle. And they'll cloak, and then, of course, at the back, most animals, they'll have little bitty tiny spike hooves in the back of their foot. And it, as you can tell right here, as you can tell, you can see how it is. And then right there's the little spikes. And most of them have them. I know, but we'll get it. There's some that have them, but they're unclean to eat. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And but I'd like to go over, as children of the Lord, there's a time to mourn, the Bible tells us. But mourning in one thing, like we mourn over somebody's death. And many times in the Bible it talks about mourning. And what they would do, most of the time you would see them tear their clothes. And I remember, and I got it down at the Eagle part, but I might as well go ahead and say it now. David, when Jonathan and Saul got killed, he mourned for them, even though they were, more Saul and David, they were enemies. Well, more towards Saul's part, but David respected Saul. And in the end, he mourned for him. And there are certain things today that God wouldn't have us to partake in. If we're His special people, there's things we can't partake in. I made a small list. Of course, God, He wouldn't have us. I'll wait on that. We'll go ahead and we know smoking. God wouldn't really want us to be smoking if we're His special people. He wouldn't want us to be drinking. He wouldn't want us to be gambling. The city now, they've annexed, I believe, all the way out to the interstate. To 109 out toward the drive-in out about right in there somewhere. And why is that? Because of the men gaming hall. And I asked Robert Taylor one night, I said, Robert, help me knock that thing out of here. He said, well, I'll tell you, all you got to do is get you a petition, and so many names have got to sign it. But it's got to sort of come from the area where it was established from. And I said, do you know the area? He said, oh, yeah, I know which area. He said it was Highlands. Over in there across from Hardy's, all those people down through there, Highland took phase two and all that. And he said they sort of wanted more. Of course, some other guys I know, the Kellys, they was wanting it because I think one of them owns some of it. But what I'm saying though, so we shouldn't be drawn into that like people back in that day. The reason God didn't want them to mess with these other nations, they can be led astray. They can be led away from Him. And we'll see in a minute in Deuteronomy 7 what He says about these things. We see other things that's going on today. How about, I remember seeing this movie one time and it's come to pass. How about hair color? You see people walking around and got red hair, yellow hair. There's a guy at work, he got mixed up with this girl And he'd come in every day and his beard would be a different color. It'd be red and pink and blue. We called him Bluebeard the Pirate there for a while. And, you know, it's something that, you know, he's not, Ken's not a Christian, and he won't claim to be either. But he just got, you know, it's something like that. He got drawn away. How about body piercing? That's something that's gotten real popular today. And as well as tattoos. Used to be a woman, you wouldn't see a tattoo on a woman hardly. Now, there's tattoos all up down their neck, down their arms, on their legs. They don't care about it. And in it, and I'll tell you what, it's a bad influence. You know, like we just talked about God's people, they'd be influenced. The NBA and kids see these players. And there's guys, there was this guy, they called him the Birdman or something. And he started, I think he was a main saint. And I mean, that guy was covered in tattoos. And you see now, a lot of NBA players, big name players, they got tattoos all over. And even the women players in the NBA, they're starting to do it.
I was going to add, you know, and you may be making this point coming up, but when God starts off there in verse 1 and 2 about not cutting yourselves or shaving the front of your head for the dead, because these were things that the world did, it was as if he knew as well that if he could see in their hunting process certain animals that they wouldn't eat and certain animals they could eat, that every day it would be a reminder that we're not like the rest of the world. They can just hunt and eat anything, but every time we're having to be making a choice. We're always having to be circumspect with the things that we do. Now, some say that maybe there was some, later on we're able to scientifically prove that maybe there could be some health risks with some of the other meats. But practically speaking for them, as he starts off by talking about cutting ourselves and the head and all of that, he's trying to show a practical way how we're different from the rest of the world.
Anybody else got anything? No? All right. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7, and here, I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing. And that may make some comments along the way. Deuteronomy 7, it's talking about the blessings of being obedient to God. And here he'll talk about these things to his people. And when the Lord your God brings you into a land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. So you're going to go in against these tribes. They're going to be greater than you. But the one thing that you have on your side is God. And when the Lord your God delivers them over you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. Now, that's pretty simple. When you come up against them, he wants you to wipe them out. Of course, we know there was some, like King Saul, he didn't heed to this like he should have. And eventually, they cost him his kingship. And it says you should make no covenant with them or show no mercy to them. The covenant, we think about the wife and husband covenant that they make together. Well, if one of them cheats on the other, then that covenant's broken. And the same way, if these, if his children follow and after things they shouldn't, they go after things that and be disobedient to him, that covenant's broken, and they'll have to come back to him. Nor you shall make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, or take their daughter for your son. So he had, it's not like it's a mixed marriage, but he just didn't want, he wanted his people to stay within the confines of his children. Not some, and you know, like mixed marriages here, sometimes you can marry a non-Christian and convert them over to be a Christian. And then sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And then sometimes the ones that are of God's people, they can be drawn away to some other following Baptist, say. They can be drawn away from here and follow them, because that would be wrong. And but in some of them's eyes and some of them's minds, they think they're still right in God's eyes. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, so the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. So they're going to be destroyed if they're doing these things eventually. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. What was the last worship places that kings or people would use, and they would use them? It'd be the last thing that they'd be right. It seemed like, I believe in the kings, they'd be right inside of God, but there would be one piece of worship. Does anybody remember what that is that they would use still?
The high places?
The high places. Yeah, they would still use that, but eventually they call them good kings, but I don't know that they do everything, but they wouldn't give up the high places. Anything else? For you, verse 6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. We talked earlier, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. So we're to be different, the way we act, the things we say, the things we do, the way we worship. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than the other people. For you were the least of all the people. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath in which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out of the house of bondage from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And it referred back here to him leading his children out of Egypt. Therefore, verse 9, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is a God, the faithful God who keeps covenant mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. So God's going to, the ones that do not do his will, he hates that. And it tells us here that he will destroy them eventually. Therefore, you shall keep his commandments, the statutes and judgments which I command you today to observe them. In verse 12, then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he has sworn to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you And he will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle. See, he talks about the animals here. And the offspring of your flock, he talked like the baby calves, the baby sheep, the ones that they need to sacrifice to him. And he says, you'll be blessed above all the peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. I remember some on the animals we've had that I don't know if it I remember I had a dog and she had 9 pups, and it's not that when she was barren. Most of the time in a dog, the mother instincts, even, you know, they'll kick in. Well, this dog, I don't know if Leanne remembers the pups. I think she had 9 of them. And I think Sam and Steffi went over there and looked at them or something. And some of them was dead. I come in from work that day, and I went back there, and sure enough, there was, I think, 4 or 5 of them dead. And she, like the pups, were right here in the box, and she was laying back here. And I took them and I put them up there and let them start nursing. But the next day, come in, they was all dead. Her maternal instincts or her parental instinct never did kick in. And I told her that day, I said, that's the last pups you're going to have. Because if you don't know how to take care of it. I wish that day, I never thought about it until it was too late. Of course, you'd have to be, if I could have found a female that that was in with milk, or had a guy that had a dog with pups, I could have put them on her. And she possibly would have took them. Sometimes you can take them and rub them on a strange dog on their fur or on her fur, and she'll take them and accept them. But you're talking 9 pups plus the pups she had, and that's been hard to do. Let's see. And verse 15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all of those who hate you. And you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods. So God, he didn't want you to have pity. He didn't want you to serve other gods as well. It says it will be a snare. I remember, well, I don't know if I'll be saying it, but a good way to get rid of coyotes, you can take and I hate to say this because that's one of God's creatures, but sometimes you can't. These coyotes, if somebody's raising cattle, I know Miss Wright does. Your dad, they've got these cattle, and they'll have these calves at a certain time of year, right? These coyotes know it. And they're sort of the young ones, and they'll come and take, well, coyotes are more of a nocturnal animal. They're going to be, you see some in the day, but mostly they're out at night. And they'll come in there. I remember Chad and Laura up here, and Miss Walters, they would have these cows that have calves, and those coyotes would come in there and kill them. Not only that, but predator birds such as the vultures, maybe not the vultures, what do they call them now? I guess it is the vultures. But there's a new kind of those that's out now. They're not as big, but they're numbered in many. buzzards and vultures of, but I can't remember the name of this new kind. They're black-headed. Their head is slit like a turkey, but they'll be black-headed. They go on by a certain name. They're the same thing as a buzzard. But, and there's a quick fact on that. Buzzards, for some reason, they like dead trees roosting. I don't know. They're roosting a dead tree. I hadn't looked that up. I don't even know if we're going on with buzzard. I was saying about the powder. Almost forgot. You can take these wires and make them into a loop. And you can see where these pads would come through this fence. Where you'd make a snare about that big around. And just let it hang there. Now, when that coyote comes through there with his head, or puts his foot in it, or leg through it, so he steps at it, he's done. He's caught. And then you can exterminate him. Used to, coyotes, Indiana, run a bounty on their furs. I think it's like $150 for one fur. Now, granted, the furs, I'm talking about fur, not hair. So you don't want to take them up there in the summertime, they ain't going to give you nothing. But when they're in fur, you get $150. Probably not today, because that's been like, I don't know, when you first got married, that was 40-something years ago. It's a while back. But anyway, so number 17, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh. He's pointing back, you remember these things I did to the Egyptians to get you free. He said, these things, same things can happen to you as well. He said, I can do them to you just as easily as I did to them. If you're not doing my will. 19, these great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all the people of whom you are afraid. Remember when Moses, when the chariot, the horses and the chariots was coming down on him. I'm probably using some of the horse lesson or something. It's a horse and... But when they was coming down on them, you know, the people was greatly afraid. What were they going to do? Well, he confused the horses and the chariots for a time. And then Moses parted the sea. Of course, God did, but Moses was his help. Excuse me. Verse 20 more, the Lord your God will send a hornet among them until those that are left who hide themselves from you are destroyed. The hornet, has anybody ever come across a big hornet's nest out in the woods? You ever seen one? And I was telling my friend one time, we've seen a hornet's nest. And I've never been chased by a hornet. And they say the only way to get away from them, because I mean, if they come after you, you've got to either hide from them. They say the best thing is to get underwater. They won't go underwater. You'll have to, submerge yourself underwater. They can't get to you. But they say it'll hit you like a bullet or one of those, maybe not like a bullet, but like a paint gun, paintball. Gun and hit you that hard, at least, or maybe harder, and multiple times. And I believe Leanne's dad one time, he brought up that they was out doing a job, and these boys was messing with him, and he was in the truck, and they was running toward the truck. He just locked the doors and rolled the windows up, and he said they was getting tore up, man. He just kept running, and over there at our house. there was honeybees right here at the end of, there's a ditch that runs over here, Sarah, here at the front of our house. Looking at it, it'd be over here to your left. There's honeybees, and this guy out here at the farmer's market, he said, you let me have those honeybees, I can get them out of there, and I'll bring you, I don't know, 2 or 3 pints of honey, something like that. I'm going to tell you something, I'm still waiting on that honey. And that's been a while back. But anyway, those bees, he said, he told me, he said, do not get around when I close that hole up. He said, it's going to be bad news for somebody to get around. And that Leanne's dad said, he's sitting back there, and people come walking down the street. Well, those bees, well, they couldn't get into that, their hive. They was eating those people up, stinging them. They was running, rolling on the ground. And when they come back, they went across to the other side and walked over to stay away from them. And it looks like a couple of back, but I never got stung by them. But that, you know, the hornet. Oh, there he is, verse 20. So the wrath of God will come upon them like a hornet. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. Remember the 7 of the spies he sent out? There was some of them there terrified, wasn't it? They didn't want to go into the land. They were scared of the giants. Well, I believe it was the Amalekites, descendants maybe, Goliath's descendants. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. And God used many ways to destroy these people. I might use that in something else. You shall burn their carved images of their gods, verse 25, with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared in abomination to the Lord. Who? Here's a question, Amanda. We'll give it to you back there. Who was it that coveted after the silver and gold, and it cost them their lives? Anybody? I don't think Amanda's going to get it.
Achan.
Remember what he done with it? He hid it under his tent. Was he the only one that was going to get in trouble? His sin is going to affect everyone. Verse 26, nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall early detest it and early abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Anybody got anything on these verses? If not, bring.
I'm just saying, just looking at the way that God describes it here, what he's going to do for the Israelites, the things that he has planned for them, the blessings that he has planned for them, it's such a beautiful thing. I mean, God could bless every person and every nation, but the point is he wants them to obey him. And even Pharaoh had an opportunity to recognize that he was God and praise God, but instead he chose to continue to abuse the people that he was supposed to be letting go. And God could have blessed the Egyptians and the Israelites at the same time. They could have all lived peacefully, but that's not the way this worked. Everybody has the right and the ability to choose to do right or wrong. But God is telling the Israelites specifically, if you obey me, these are all the beautiful things that will happen for you. Your enemies will fall. They will be terrified of you, even if you are smaller in number. And I just think it's a really cool thing that God's telling them all these things that is set before them. And and then still many times they chose the opposite.
And these things would bless, like, their livestock, the clean animals that they could eat, and they would know that God was with them, that he'd set them apart.
Anybody else?
Well, just to think, the livestock alone, you know, we were talking about how it says that they would increase the livestock, they would be none more barren, that he would bless their grain, bless their new wine, their oil. So he's providing food for them, he's providing for their livelihoods, he's providing, and he's not asking for a sacrifice of something he's not given to them, that he's already, that it's already provided. They're just expected to give it back, a portion of it.
And they've seen, you know, his mighty hand at work, but yet they'll still be unfaithful to him and never return.
It's real easy for us to say the Israelites, man, they should really know that this is, God is helping them out. They should really follow what he says. But then again, we do the same thing every day. The New Testament is laid out in front of us, the things that he's offered to bless us with, and still we frequently fall short.
Anybody else? So we are a holy people, God tells us. Holy means separate people. The people of Israel were a people of the Lord. Over in 1 Peter 2, in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we've been called, each one of us has been called out of darkness into his light. So the hope over in Ephesians 1:18. Ephesians 1:18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Here I tend to lean toward he's talking about heaven. But if we continue to abide in his word, abide in his will, we can have that inheritance that we might not can see it right now, but we know it's true because God's word is true. So we're going to try to move on a little bit. We already talked about animals having cloven hooves, just as the Adak does. And the Adak chews its cud. Have you ever seen a cow chew their cud? They'll like store up food and they'll sit there and just work their jaw. But an animal I was going to tell you about a while ago, and I believe he'll come up pretty soon in another lesson, is a pig. He has the same moves as this, but he was an unclean animal to the children of God. So they couldn't eat pigs. He was unclean. They couldn't eat. Now, some of these things I'm going to hit on here, we all eat, you know, eat today. Fish with scales and fin. I remember we went fishing one day, Justin pulled one out. I don't know if the lake dropped very much when he pulled it out. I think it's maybe that long. I wish we had a picture of it. We'd have that up there. But we don't. That's Justin's got it. You got a picture of that.
Well, I tell you, dude, the one I brought the dog. Oh.
I can't remember.
I think I did get a photo.
I can't remember.
It's like a little man.
That's good. No catfish, no shellfish, no clams, crabs, oysters, because they do not have fins and scales. Birds, how about predator birds, such as the eagle we'll talk about tonight? maybe not tonight now. Scavengers, we was talking about the scavenger birds. When God uses them to do what? You see a possum get run over. Especially on our road, it seems like there something gets run over on our road, Morgantown Road, and all the time. You've got these birds out there, and God uses them. There was a deer. I think it's around the time COVID hit. Somebody hit a deer, and it was laying out there. And I'll tell you what, about 2 days, that thing was picked to the bone. I'm talking about a pretty good sized doe. And you didn't have to call, you know, it used to, you call a dead wagon if you had an animal or something dead, or bury them in your backyard. But through the predators, God, it cleaned them up. So the Adax, I'll go ahead and get in. It's known as the white antelope or the screw horn antelope. As you can tell, its horns, they sort of got ridges in them. They got ridges in them. You can see those ridges. And they'll have a shape to them that'll curl up. I'm not for sure when we go to the next slide. I'm not for sure. You can remind me, but a kudu has got horns that are curled like that, but they're a whole lot larger in size. Like I'm gonna say like a 3-inch. And I don't anybody see a kudu. So the one we need to look at is not a. That's okay. That's okay. But and going back, so this antelope here is native to the Sahara Desert. The pale antelope has long, twisted horns, as you can see. Now, the female's horns run about 22 to 31 inches. And you know, I planned on bringing a formation tape. But all I could find was a stick. And I was going to use this on the eagle. The eagle, they say the height of the eagle comes about right there in the straddle of a normal man. And so that stick's going to be pretty close on the height of the eagle. But, so, and then males, their horns run like 28 to 33 inches long. Now, we'll, in a minute, this would be a trophy to people like that hunt. There's a guy that comes on channel, I think it's 5, about 11, 11:30 at night on Sunday night, I think. Buck McNally, outdoor, something like that. And he hunts all the animals he hunts. He's hunting in America, but now he hunts in Africa. And he'll have different shows on these. At the shoulder, which they stand 41 to 45 inches. Of course, the shoulder down, the shoulder's going in somewhere right in here. Right in that crease right there. Your shoulder will end right there. So they'll be a little bit higher than that. I'm thinking maybe 5 foot, somewhere in that range. You know, it could vary some. And in the winter, their coat turns to a grayish brown with white hindquarters and legs and long brown hair. In the summer, though, their coats turn completely almost white. And they are sandy blonde color, you could say. They mainly are herbivores. They eat grass and small bushes and plants. But these animals here, can go long periods of time without water. And God made them that way because of the area they lived in. And we're not going to get to them tonight. It's going to look like I was going to talk about the problem home and how they differ from this one right here. And water can get them killed easily. But they form herds of like five. They see that now. Most people remember this animal right here, the pronghorn. You'll see them, Big Sky Country, Montana, New Mexico. Seen them out there a number of times. Their eyesight is magnificent. They can spot movement over 3 miles away. Something that differs between them and the ADAC. Now, granted, this is an antelope, but the ADAC and the antelope family, like the second picture. Most of these, their horns don't lose them. They stay with them the year round. And the pronghorn, though, will lose his horns yearly. Sort of like, he's considered an antelope, but he's sort of like the white-tailed deer. Now, the white-tailed deer will lose his horns, grow another one each year. Now, anybody want a question? I'm going to close on this question here. And I do not, because I'm about out on the, I'll go back to the ADAX real fast, Steve. The ADAX is an endangered species. There's not many of them left in captivity. Nigeria, Egypt, Libya, Western Sahara. And they've been reintroduced into Tanzania, but they're in danger. You're going to see more of these in the captivity. I'm not for sure. I thought I seen one. I can't remember. Is the Louisville Zoo or the National Zoo?
The Louisville Zoo does have one.
They do have one. That's been a long time since. I think Stephanie was little when we went to that little zoo, but because I always liked animals and horns and stuff. But they have one, but I'm not for sure about the National Zoo. But anyway, I'm going to end there tonight. Next week I might hit on the pronghorn a little bit more, and then we're going to talk. Let's see, I planned on getting through pronghorn, eagle, and ADAX tonight. So we got through the ADAX. So I'll hit a little bit on the pronghorn. We'll go to the eagle, which is in your book. We'll hit on that next week. And the ant. I think it's in your book. That was sort of like that. Anybody got any questions? Thank you for your attention.